We are Two Guys Gaming. As always, even though the introduction says Two Guys Gaming, this is One Guy Reading. Hello and welcome. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noob's Book Club. I'm Sean, noob of all trades from Two Generations Gaming. And in this series, I am reading and reacting to... Dragons of Eternity, the last book in the latest Dragonlance trilogy. It has been at least 3 months since my last recording session. Things happen, as you know, around here. The beginning of the school year hit me really hard. I was supposed to do a book in October and then a book in November. I think I was supposed to do this book in October. And then I was going to do Frankenstein in October and then do this book in November and then do another book in December, but things just kept getting pushed back, so we are stuck with this one in December now. Hopefully I can get done with it because I have another schedule that I put together, and hopefully by having this time off, it'll get me back into the rhythm of recording every week and releasing an episode every week so that we can get back into the swing of things. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Whatever you believe, it is the week of Christmas, and we have 2 weeks off for the break. That's why I think that I'll be able to at least put together some sort of schedule over the next couple of weeks. That will get me done with this book and then able to proceed with the schedule as I've put it together. As you know, if you've been listening, and if you don't know, because you haven't been listening, I will give a synopsis of the chapters. This time I'm doing chapter 9 through chapter 16, I believe, and then I will give some thoughts on the chapters, and then we will be done. Chapter 9. The chapter opens with Raistlin and Caramon. Caramon eats with no manners as Raistlin looks on and chastises him. They again illustrate the differences between the twins. Tall, strong, handsome, affable, happy-go-lucky, slightly oafish, frail, acerbic, jealous, judgmental, and seemingly perpetually ill. Speaking of ill, he starts to cough. Caramon dotes on him like a worried mother. He noticed, obviously, that they changed history. Concocting a story of a head injury, he uses that to gather information about the changes in Chaos Time. When Kit inquires, he assures her that he's healing, and with his staff, he retains all ability to cast spells necessary to assist her should she require it. Caramon shifts the topic to another staff, the Blue Crystal one. That gives Weiss and Hickman a chance to introduce us to Goldmoon and Riverwind. They also mention Fizban in the exchange. Then, one of Kit's paramours, Bakari, interrupts. They go back and forth about mostly Tanis. The High Theocrat then interrupts to inform them that they need to now also watch out for Destina and the Grey Gem. They don't take it seriously. Raistlin helps to deflect it, as only a myth. The High Theocrat threatens them before leaving. They insult him one last time. A Bozak, one of the Draconians made from a bronze dragon, approaches to inform them of Flint and Taz's arrival. She tells him to let them in at once. Taz tries to figure out which Raistlin it is before the mage shuts him down. Caramon bear hugs Flint in greeting. Kit immediately asks about Tanis. Raistlin accuses Taz of stealing. The Kender, to his credit, seems genuine in his innocence and surprised this time. He uses the accusation as an excuse to interrogate Taz. He asks about Destina. Taz replies that she, Karen, and Tannis are all back. Raistlin, shocked, asks what the hell is going on. Taz tries to explain. When Raistlin follows up about Tannis, Taz nearly blows it again by pointing him out. Taz also notices Fizban, Riverwind, and Goldmoon. Caramon approaches. Raistlin tells Taz to tell Tannis that Raistlin will help Riverwind and Goldmoon escape. Taz leaves, and Caramon tells Raistlin that Kit wants to talk. She thinks she found the staff. He points to Goldmoon. Chapter 10. Raistlin subtly hints to Tannis that Kitiara is on to Goldmoon and Riverwind. He then makes his way back while getting information from Caramon. He tells him that Kit becomes suspicious that the cloaked Bakari attempted some sexual assault on Kit, and then they discuss Sturm. As they walk, Raistlin scopes out the bar in case the shit goes down. Kit excitedly brings up the staff. He brushes it off. She asks if he can see the magic. No. I'd have to cast a spell. Okay, fine. I'll do it myself, Kit says. Bakaris offers to assist. She sends him off to clean. Pause. 10-page pause. Up. Raistlin warns Caramon about him. He scoffs. Rather have him as an enemy instead of a pretend ally. Raistlin is impressed. Caramon writes it off as a common saying. They approach Riverwind and Goldmoon. Raistlin informs Caramon that he lied when he told Kitiara that he knew nothing about the staff. In fact, it heralds the one... In fact, it heralds the old god's return. How do we stop her? Just follow my lead. Kit tells Raistlin to grab the staff. Knowing fully well it will injure him for trying, he tells Caramon to grab it instead. Riverwind steps in front of him. Kit, impatient, lunges and stabs him. Heal him! The staff has healing powers. Heal him! Goldmoon protests. Caramon, angry at his sister's actions, tries to maintain some peace. He picks up the staff. It starts to glow. Fizban shouts, "Drop it! It is about to explode!" Caramon flings the staff, and it lands on top of Riverwind. A blue glow encompasses the entire room, imparting a feeling of love on them all. It heals him. Goldmoon celebrates, and it dims. Caramon is awed. Kit gloats. She moves to seize the staff. Raistlin warns her not to. Taz intervenes. The High Theocrat then moves to take the staff. It flares and injures him. Tannis comes to their aid. Kit threatens Goldmoon and Riverwind with arrest. Tannis notices Fizban. "Gods help us. That's the problem," says Raistlin. "One of them is likely to." Tannis assures Riverwind that they're friendly and tells him to take Goldmoon and flee. Raistlin and Caramon must be very careful not to let Kit harm Taz while keeping their cover. Raistlin tells him to take the staff from Taz. The Kenda shrieks. That it's Goldmoon's and they needed to save. Pause. Sturm and Destina. Fizban chooses this time to intervene. He's about to unleash a fireball spell. Raistlin tries to stop him. He replies, "We call this one Burning Down the House." Catchy tune. An explosion rocks the inn. and the barely controlled chaos erupts into total chaos. Hedrick flees. Rayson tells Caraman to save Kit. He does, and brings the platoon of Bozaks with him. Rayson tells Taz to give the staff back. He tries to hide it. Fizban reiterates, so he gives the staff back. Riverwind begs their departure, but Fizban sings a song, which I will now read for you. Which I will now read for you. He carries a blue staff, as bright as a glacier. The grasslands are fading, the summer wind dies. The grasslands are fragile, as yellow as flame. The chieftain makes mockery of Riverwind's claim. He orders the people to stone the young warrior. The grasslands are fragile, as yellow as flame. The grassland has faded, and autumn is here. The girl joins her lover, the stones whistle near. The staff flares in blue light, and both of them vanish. The grasslands are faded, and autumn is here. He explains that the staff is a gift from the old gods. Taz tries to reassure them, too. Riverwind insists that they go. Gold Moon counters. We have no idea where we are and how to get anywhere from here. She then calms down. They risked their lives for us. I think we can trust them. He puts the decision in her hands. She says they will come with them. Fizban tells Taz to go along as well. They will meet again when Taz brings up the... He whispers a word. Dragonlances. But don't tell anyone. Taz gets visibly upset, which brings the rest of the party. They plan to take the plains folk to Destina and Sturm. Raistlin needs to talk to Tanis. Raistlin and Fizban discuss Raistlin's part in all of it. The Grey Gem... and their plan to change time. Fizban explains that they already have. Their mere presence alerted Tachesis, and that's enough to alter time. Just don't get killed this time. And hell of a spell, that fireball. I think that is... Pause for the page. Pause. I think that's some foreshadowing there from good old Fizban. Rayson goes into the kitchen to see Odic telling an irate Tika about the goings-on. She asks if Raistlin had anything to do with the fire spell. He did not. Okay, well, what about the plainsfolk? I think they got away. You need to ask Tanis. She continues to complain about the mess. Raistlin jumps, aided by a slow fall spell. Tanis beckons him to their hiding spot. He asks about Bakaris. No clue, no sight. Maybe he's watching us. Clearly nothing we can do about that. Riverwind and Goldmoon? Flynn is taking them and Taz to the mill. Okay. Now what do you need to discuss? Tachesis knows the Grey Gem is here. Destina is in trouble. She needs to leave. Of course, but she's injured. I can take a look. I have some healing skill. What about us? There's no way they trust my magic. Oh, I have a travel spell. I can take a look. I have a travel spell. Well, what about them? Nope, there's no way they trust my magic. Tanis agrees. Caraman opens the trap door and descends the rope. Bad news. Bakaris told Kit everything. But she doesn't know where they're going. Okay, stick to the plan, but watch for Bakaris. Cameron needs to keep playing his part. He goes back to the inn. Raistlin casts a spell asking Lunatari, the red mage god, instead of Nuwatari, in spite of the black robe. The goddess picked him up and sweeps him away with her magic. Chapter 12. Raistlin arrives safely at the mill. Cairn greets him. He asks after Sturm and Destina. Cairn updates. Pause. Him, hopeful that he can help. Only the gods can help Sturm now. Show me to Destina. What are you doing here? Takisis knows of the Grey Gem. How? She must have followed us here. We need to leave. Far too risky. So how is she? Cairn asks. The cut is merely a scratch, but poisoned. He asks for a poultice. He then grinds together the ingredients. He carefully puts together the salve. And uses the brandy to clean the wound. She reaches up, but he stops her, applies the medicine, and wraps the wound. Now she needs a good night of rest. Raistlin coughs. Cairn fixes his tea, then promises to watch over Destina. While he sips his tea, Taz tells him the Caraman still talks a lot about him. Even if Tika tells him he's foolish. Raistlin lashes out. Taz simply says, you could just tell him you're sorry. Raistlin sits in silence and watches the fire die down to embers. Chapter 13. I should wear my glasses. Danlish barely recognizes the path to the mill. With the felled Valen woods. In the skies, he sees the Dark Queen's constellations shining brightly. He also notices Kit's dragon and increases his pace. He hears his companions before seeing them. Riverwind begs Goldmoon to go out on their own. Goldmoon reminds him that they helped them, and now they need their help. Pause. Turn page. Pause. He is unmoved. Taz warns them all to hush. He hears something. Tanis reveals himself, and the Caraman warned him that Kit's forces are on the hunt. As if on cue, the dragon dives and quote-unquote misses them with a lightning bolt. Flynn says that was merely a warning shot, and they need to avoid leading them to the mill. Taz loses it and blabs that they need to get to the mill, because in the wrong past, another crazy shit. Flint, again, is confused. Tanis urges them on. Right into the waiting arms of Kit's ambush. She demands their weapons. They all resist, but she threatens them with the Draconian's magic. Tanis gets them all to relinquish the weapons. Goldmoon says, my staff is not a weapon. Kit tells one of the Dracos to seize it. I wouldn't do that, says Taz. The staff fries the Draconian.
I told ya.
She tells Tanis to give her the staff. He returns it to Goldmoon. How? He ignores her and tells her to let them go. Because he's the one she's after. She offers him lieutenant. A messenger tells her that she has a meeting with one of Verminard's messengers. A messenger comes to tell her that she has a meeting with one of Verminard's troops. Okay, fine. Tanis agrees to come, but not as lieutenant. or she'll let them go. She tires of his nonsense, slaps him, and leaves Bakaris to deal with him. The Bozaks radio whip spell, but Bakaris wants to play with his food. He threatens Stannis and tells the Bozaks to web him so that Bakaris can kill him and say that he died running. They refuse. He orders again. While they fight, Flynn attacks, and the others back him up. The Bozaks cast a web spell that doesn't work because it's countered by the staff. The Bozaks charge at Bakaris' command. As they do, they fall forward and then... flesh melts away. So what do these guys do? Their bones explode. Take cover. A group of elves comes from the forest to surround them. Tanis recognizes one of them. Lorana, Taz shouts. Chapter 14. She ignores Taz and looks at Tanis with no recognition. She approaches Flint. Flint Fireforge? Maybe, maybe not. She induces herself with a tale that he used to tell. That he used to tell her that her name was bigger than she was. They exchange pleasantries, and Taz moves to introduce himself again. He goes overboard and then intros Tanis. Ah, yes, I barely recognized you. Human name, beard. He's awestruck and confused, and unable to keep his wits. They fill her on Bakaris before she turns to Riverwind and Goldmoon. Goldmoon mentions the staff. Taz names it as Meshackles. And Riverwind puts up his guard again. They don't believe the story of the goddess. She suggests traveling to the land of the elves to tell the story. Riverwind declines. Taz also, because they need it for Sturm. Who? Tanis explains. She volunteers to accompany them. She wants to talk to Tanis about private stuff. She asks about Taz. He writes it off. Kender talk. Then she tells the story of their love in this timeline. They catch up more about her father, and more. Tanis thinks about the Dragonlances. He asks about them. The Dark Queen tried to destroy them, but instead, she sealed them in the tower after the attack. Pause. Turn page, pause. The knights tried to retrieve them, but perished. And the dragons? The Dark Queen stole their eggs, made the Draconians, so they went to retreat in the Dragon Isles. Some want to fight, but others simply want to hold up. What about you, Tanis? I will fight. I don't know why I sounded like Shao Kahn there. Chapter 15. They give background for Bakaris. He grew up good looking and therefore spoiled. Then he joined the Blue Dragon Army and rose quickly in the ranks. All this in spite of, parenthetically, or because of, his cowardice. Then he met his match in Kitiara. Love at first sight for him. Easily manipulated pawn for her. She sent him to Solas to prepare for her arrival. He thinks she's joking and comes on to her. She shoots him down and reiterates. They go back and forth and Tanis comes up in the conversation. She insults him again before finally outright threatening. He stared and sulked until she asks after him. He stalled and sulked until she asks after him again. When she arrived, he held out hope. Then she invited him to dinner and talked only of Tanis. He swore to kill the damned half-elf, but he needed an opportunity. But he needed an appropriately cowardly plan. So when he heard of the mill, he went there. Snuck into the cellar and laid in wait for intel and or an ambush. He got a chance at both. Chapter 16. Raistlin goes to check on Destina. She's resting peacefully and continues to do so as he cleans the wound once more. As he pulls up the bedsheet, he hears a sound from the floorboards. No follow-up. Rats, perhaps. Karen asks after Destina. Raistlin updates him. As they leave Destina to heal in peace, Raistlin hears armor. Soldiers! The light! Raistlin readies a spell. Tanis calls. Tanis tells them it is just him, Goldmoon, Riverwind, and Flint. How is Stern? Breathing. Hopefully Goldmoon can help him. Destina? Much better. She will be up and around by the morning. Finally, good news. Taz loudly announces their presence and recaps their evening. When he mentions Lorana, Raistlin says the cycle closes, but he won't elaborate. Goldmoon and Riverwind are shocked by Raistlin. Everyone vouches for him. Taz starts to get bored. Raistlin tries to get him into the cellar, just to get him out of the way. Bored Kender is a dangerous Kender, as they say. Instead, he says he will help in case Goldmoon needs him to boil water. Karen goes to be with Destina in case they need to leave. Goldmoon prepares to heal Sturm. She speaks gently to him. Taz interrupts, and Flint takes him away. Lorana doubts that anything can be done because of the might of the Dark Queen. The staff starts to glow. Sturm is breathing, slows more, and then stops. He starts to moan. Raistlin, pause. Turn page, pause. Goes straight to anger, shaking him to wake him up. Sturm shudders and draws breath again. I'm coming, he shouts, a war. He then notices where he... I'm coming to help you. Wait. Then he notices where he is. Goldmoon? How does he know us? Must have heard us talking. I've seen people unconscious who are aware of their surroundings. Storm stabilizes. Thank you, Mishakal, he says. The gods have returned. Lorana skeptical. They come not with swords, but healing. We will not defeat the Dark Queen with blue crystal. Tanis retorts, the gods will fight. Tanis and Lorana have a moment. Flint and Sturm. Talk. Flint shows sign of age. Taz is with Goldmoon and Riverwind. Tanis and Flint make plans to go into the cellar to prepare. Taz comes back in with the staff. He smacks Flint in the chest twice. What the hell are you doing? I'm healing Flint. You're going to break a rib. But it's not your ribs I'm worried about. It's your heart. You won't break and you won't die. The staff glowed brightly. Well done. Well, damn. Tasselhoff Burfoot may just be the smartest among us, thinks Raistlin. And now for my thoughts on this section. I said last time, parenthetically, if you remember, if not, go back and give a listen, and parenthetical, that the great thing about Weiss and Hickman is they just write the story. they give any background information in the context and flow of that story. That trend continues here. Several characters explain, and sometimes over-explain, events that led to the current situation. Pause. They might be world-altering events from previous books. Perhaps something that happened in the first two books of this series. Heck, they even recap previous chapters from this book. That one, last one seems silly to me. But my wife said yesterday that she hates TV recaps because she forgets things. So I guess I get it. No matter the reason or my thoughts about the practice, it serves a purpose. Instead of spending your time doing quote-unquote homework, you read the book, and all relevant information is presented right there. Look, you all know that I love everything about the MCU. Yes, even, parenthetically, or especially, the less popular projects, and parenthetical. The more you hate something, I guarantee you, the more I love it. I've seen what makes you applaud. Okay, anyway, the point here is that I understand. The annoyance of having to have seen something obscure piece of media simply to understand something else. Granted, we live in the future, so you can just Google it, but still annoying. No such annoyance with Dragonlance. World building. They again drop us into a world familiar to longtime fans. We remember the original books and what happened there. In these books, none of that happened. Not the first time. As a result, we're in that world, but not in that world, according to Raistlin. Maybe with time, they'll become accustomed to it. I don't think I want to, replies. Pause. Tanis. I'm with him. Especially with the recent presidential election and possibilities that come with it. This was written before that election. I don't want a world ruled by the selfish and cruel in my fiction. We're about to get that again in real life. And guess what? We did. A world where the handpicked quote-unquote elites rule over all and convince those that they rule that a more just and equal society is simply not possible. Not just impossible, but not even worth pursuing. But kudos to Weiss and Hickman for envisioning that world and giving it life. And oh, those things that never happened, they're now happening in a different way. To build a new world, one that welcomes new readers with the same enthusiasm as older readers in such a short time impresses me. We all feel the despair of the characters, maybe for different reasons, equally. And that makes the gathering mean just a little more. The resistance resonates more. The eventual victory that we all know is coming also unites us all in a common desire to find what we know is right. New fans see a better world. Old fans get back to the world that they knew. Everyone rejoices. Now for new characters. Pause. If you're OG DL, no actual quote-unquote new characters this time. If you're new, then Gold Moon and Riverwind are both new, as is Fizban. They fill their roles in the story. He's a parenthetically maybe overprotective lover, and she's a parenthetically maybe oversensitive cleric of a god thought gone from the world. In keeping with the theme, they filled those same roles in the original story. See, no need to go back and read the original books. I mean, I recommend them. They're excellent. Another not-new character, Bakaris, gets an expanded role in this one. They mention him in the first books, but he was a minor They mention him in the first books, but he was a minor character then. In this one, he serves the Tully role of an absolute turd of a bastard. Plus, we get some of his backstory in the process. I wish him a very quote-unquote, get fucked, shithead. Also, they throw the Lorana curveball at Tannis. So, no new characters really, but old characters in new roles. Character development. The major development we get this time is Bakaris. Like I said, they gave his backstory as a pretty boy, spoiled little rich bastard who went into the army for the spoils without any of the sacrifice. Kit makes him sacrifice in so many ways, and he reacts as you'd expect. I'd almost feel sorry for the guy, but when fuck around, find out, hits on such a visceral level, I can't help but smile. The rest of the characters in the main party, fall into their roles. Tannis, the reluctant leader, Raistlin, his advisor and second in command, for lack of a better phrase. Flint is the kindly old soul who will fight to his dying breath. Riverwind accompanies Goldmoon, who brings light and love into the proceedings. Taz, as always, provides comic relief and just enough deus ex machina. They wisely focused on plot development this time, after establishing the characters in the beginning. Pacing. To that point, the pacing continued to gain momentum. I said during the first episode that the only thing I had a problem with is the quote-unquote pacing at the beginning of the book. It just felt like they took forever to set everything up. Maybe they did market research and figured that they kept picking up new readers' interest, so they wanted to recap for them. Whatever the reason, it's not a problem anymore. The companions gathered. The Dark Queen knows this. She allows her most trusted general to use her resources and set up the pieces for either an ambush or an outright assault. Plus, for now, the Grey Gem remains dormant. At what point, parenthetically, and to what chaotic end, in parenthetical, does it awaken? Plenty happening right now, with the promise of much more over the rest of the book. I, for one, can't wait. What I liked least. I have a little more to say this time around. It's not so simple as quote-unquote pacing like last time. Or even an issue directly related with... I mean, yes, I hate that I plunged the world of Kryn into darkness. They put these characters that I grew up with into mortal peril against an overwhelming enemy. More importantly, my fellow humans have done the same with other living, breathing humans. I've started to say, quote-unquote, because we live in the apocalypse, and people hate it. Some tell me I'm overreacting. It wasn't that bad last time he was in office. No, but last time he wasn't a completely unhinged and possibly suffering from Alzheimer's. The quote-unquote adults in the room continue to pretend that he and his cronies give a single shit about anyone but themselves. The words of utter contempt that I have for the man don't even come close to adequate to describe my feelings about him and how doomed I think we actually are. Just thinking or writing about it makes me sad. He fully intends to make life hell for everyone. And to what end? He's the ultimate victim, even though he, quote-unquote, twice failed his way, even though he parenthetically twice failed his way to the presidency. So fuck him and whatever hell he unleashes. So with that little taste of how I feel about current events, you can understand how raw that makes what's happening in the book. Back when Walking Dead pumped up the ultra-violence, I walked. Away from that because it felt too real. Oh, you sweet summer child. No chance of that happening here. I knew Kirkman was a sadistic prick who got off on torturing his audiences. And it would never get better. Weiss and Hickman love a redemption arc, so I know eventually this thing will turn around and things will get better in this book. I just have to endure the darkness try to build another outlet for my hope in the meantime. I mean, if nothing else, what? I have a ton of hobbies to keep my brain occupied. What I like best. I mentioned this in the world building, but I want to elaborate here. Weiss and Hickman mirrored the original trilogy, similar to Star Wars with The Force Awakens, but I'm okay with that, because they alter the story enough and include little callbacks that make you smile. The obvious is that the companions again gather in the end of the last home. That event seems like a canon event in all realities. Granted, in some, it obviously isn't enough to precipitate the other events that end with the fall of the Dark Queen. This time, though, is different. Fizban is there. He causes enough chaos to allow them to retreat and regroup. Furthermore, Goldmoon and Riverwind are there, and everyone witnesses the power of the goddess Meshachal. That alone brings hope to this dark world that can further spread and give people a reason to fight and love. Then a big one occurred to me as I did my reread. Sturm twice faces death, both in the original and in this timeline. Both time, the combined power of Meshachal and Goldmoon's love. I mentioned love twice there. I will circle back to that. First, I want to revel. Take a victory lap. I just want you to feel the same joy I felt when I figured out something. When I figured out that Sturm thing. As I read, something triggered memory in my brain. Wait, wasn't Sturm the one who died in the acid attack? And Goldmoon used the power of the staff to bring him back and heal him? And that's when the companions knew that they were dealing with a power greater than themselves. Gods, yes, but they also fight a god. The power they have on their side is love. Tanis said as much in the previous books when he commented about Kieran and Destina. But they lean heavily into that symbolism in this one. Reason that I like it so much is that it fits my worldview. The quote about hate not being able to drive out hate and all that, only love, yeah. I know that's true, but also sometimes, as we've discovered recently, sometimes that love needs to be outright violence. However, recently, I realized that love fills the power vacuum after the battle. You still have to fight the battle. You still have to fight the hate. We need to stand up to, these fucks and drive them back into their dark corners to stew and plot. Then lift up the others with your love and show them another way. Build a new society around community and companionship. Everyone truly gets a seat at the table. We all work together and lift one another up instead of tearing each other down. But first, we must fight. I don't know if that fight could be won non-violently. So far, they've shown that they only respect violence, so we might need to respond in the same way. I know that makes people uncomfortable. Trust me, it makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to fight. I have, and I can. I will again if I must, but I don't want to. So I wait and hope that my worst fears don't come true. What's next for the book? Obviously, something goes down with Bakaris. I actually wrote Tali there because he reminds me so much of him. Either they find him and deal with him, or he succeeds in his ambush. I hope for the former, but realize the latter offers more possibilities for the story. As long as Goldmoon has the staff, injuries are simply a minor setback. Maybe they split the party. Parenthetically, never split the party. In parenthetical. And Bakaris gets the jump on Tanis. That allows for more suspense. Either way, he escapes to the setup for a more epic showdown later. The split up actually makes sense. They need to raise an army if they have any chance of defeating the Dark Queen. With Lorana, they can probably convince the elves. Same with whatever knights remain. But the army they really need and have no hope of winning without is the good dragons. They also need the Dragon Lances. Additionally, the Grey Gem currently lies dormant. I mentioned that before. Will it even allow them to accomplish any of that? Its Chaotic Bent allies with the Dark Queen, but not completely. Otherwise, it would have already left to lie dormant. It has at least one other twist in store for us and the companions. As always, thanks for listening. You can find us if you haven't already at www.twoguysgaming.net. We have articles and this podcast right now. I'm continually working on getting the social media going with the Instagram and the YouTube, but that's a struggle. I also want to do some, maybe, streaming. Who knows? We'll see what actually happens. I'll be back at some point during this week with episode 3, and then hopefully 2 episodes next week, and then that'll leave just 1 episode to finish it up so that I can continue with the schedule that I'm going to update in the show notes when I post this. Check that out, and I will talk to you soon. Bye, guys.
We